I had to have him quickly explain the joke to me. So, no lie. My name says some things about me. So here's my name: Harley Fisher Douglas Petty. And it does not fit on any form. My parents blessed me with two middle names, and I did the same with my son. And my oldest daughter did the same with her first child as well, has two middle names. But Harley, that came from my grandpa on my mom's side. He was a great man. He was a gentle giant. He was a man of great character and integrity. He was the head herdsman at the famous OSU, Oklahoma State University, Dairy. So that's where Harley comes from. Fisher is my grandpa on my dad's side. He was a World War I veteran. He served in World War I. He was a hardworking Oklahoma dairy farmer. He lived and grew up in Western Oklahoma. Also a man of great character and integrity. Let's see, Douglas. Now, this one's a little tricky. Dr. Douglas Manning was a local doctor in the tiny town of Prairie Grove, Arkansas, where my dad was a pastor. Now, Dr. Douglas Manning, I'm not sure how I got this name, Douglas. Now, I do know that he's the doctor that delivered my sister, who's older than me, 3 years older than me. And so either my parents really, really loved Dr. Manning, Dr. Douglas Manning, or they still owed him money for my sister's delivery. I'm not sure what it was, but somehow they gave me his name as well. And so, you know, that's the history of my name anyway. And I know when children are born, we think a lot about what we're going to name this child. And we put a lot of thought into it. We put a lot of meaning behind the names that we choose. We want to pick just the right name. We work hard at that. It is not random, right? We think a lot about this, don't we, parents? Because we know that they're going to have this name for their whole life. And as we give them that name, it means something to us. I know for me, I am personally still trying to live up to the names that were given to me. Those names of both of my grandparents, for sure. I never met one of them. I mean, he served in World War I. I mean, I never met him, but to hear stories about him and these were men of great character and integrity. I still, to this day, don't feel like I have earned the use of those names. But there's another name that I carry. We didn't talk about this one. I also carry, or I guess a better word is represent, the name of Jesus, because I'm a follower of Jesus. Now, if I can't adequately represent the character and the integrity of my grandparents, well, I certainly have no hope of being able to adequately represent the name of Jesus. I can't even represent my grandparents. So looking back at last week, Paul reminded us in Scripture how Jesus, who is God with a bod, how he humbled himself. And we read about that. That was the core of our teaching last week. And we compared that with how everything about me and everything about Cole and everything about you fights against humbling ourselves, fights against lowering ourselves, because something about our human nature makes us want to place ourselves in the best position possible. We want to improve our position. We want to improve our status. We want to have a better standing. And so really that focus is all about myself, which is the opposite of humility. So this is a human condition, this side of the fall, a human condition. We try to fight for and manipulate and earn our way to the top, to a better position. And if we had a famous last name, I can almost guarantee that we would use that name to help us get to a better place, position somehow, some way. So if we had the last name of Rockefeller, if we had the last name of Carnegie or Ford, or more recently, if we had the last name of Musk or Gates or Walton or the last name of Zuckerberg or Bezos, we would use that to our advantage, to advance ourselves in some way. We would use our name and background or the name of someone we were related to in a heartbeat if we thought it would help us in some way get ahead. Now, if you are a follower of Jesus, then you too are called to represent him. I said I represent him not because I'm a pastor. I represent him because I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you too represent him. You carry his name in one sense. So you do represent him. And not only are we to represent him, but we are challenged in Scripture to actually be like him. So here's our question as we begin this morning. How are you doing? How are you doing wearing the name of Jesus? How did you do this past week? Where and when did you lose patience with somebody? When did you say something or think something in your mind that you wanted to say but you didn't say, and you were thinking about it, and when that person cut you off in traffic or did something while you were driving that you didn't like? Where and when did you perhaps judge somebody because of what they were doing or what they were wearing or how they appeared? Or maybe where and when did you judge somebody based upon maybe a post that you saw on Facebook or on Instagram? And so you immediately put them in a category and you immediately cast some kind of judgment about them based upon that. So how are we doing in following Jesus, in representing Jesus? So here's another way to ask the same question. What did you do this past week with the name of Jesus? Did you just simply end a prayer with the name of Jesus? Is that the only time you really thought about it? You ended a prayer at some point, you said, in Jesus' name, amen. Or maybe a good question is, did you even pray at all last week? Or maybe, perhaps, we hear this often, maybe you called out his name in slang when you were shocked or you were surprised by something, and without even really thinking about it, maybe you shouted out, "Oh, Jesus." Or what did you do with his name? Was there something else this week revolving around the name of Jesus? What about this? When you heard the name of Jesus this past week, how did it make you feel? What did you think about when you heard that name? What was your reaction inside when you heard that name? When you hear the name of Jesus during the week, what does that do to you? Now, today is kind of a big deal in this series. We're getting close to the end of the series. Today, we are talking about the name of Jesus. I have been really excited about this. Paul, he kind of carried us through last week. We're going to pick up right where we left off last week. But in order to do that, I want to read the passage that we read last week, which is right in front of what we're going to be reading today. We're in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. We read that last week. Let me remind you what it said. Paul reminded us, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He goes on. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Oh, this is a new feature. We've got a QR code that'll take you, if you would rather see it on your own device, that'll take you straight to this passage. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, verse 7, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself. We're hearing this over and over again, right? He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. We're going to leave this on the screen for a moment because I want you to look at what is happening with Jesus as Paul describes him. As his followers, as followers of Jesus, that means we have surrendered to him as the boss of our lives. This is the Jesus that we are to emulate. This is him. Jesus, who was on a continual journey of down. Down, down. So look at this passage. Jesus stepped down. So instead of reaching up and clinging to his divine privileges, Jesus steps down. He humbled himself. No one forced it. He chose it. He humbled himself by becoming a man. Humbled himself, so he's moving down. Humbled himself by taking on the position of a slave, a servant. So we're talking about God in the flesh, who is Jesus, choosing him in this constant journey down. He humbled himself. And then he humbled himself further right here in obedience to God. So he's choosing. Hey, listen, I'm God. God the Son is just as much as God as God the Father, but he chooses obedience. That is stepping down. And then here we have the ultimate step down right here. He died the death of a criminal on the cross. He's stepping down. God chose, he allowed himself to be tortured and to be killed. Jesus is constantly stepping down. And because he continues to step down, here's the result. Now, this is where we pick it up with verse 9, today's verse. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. Jesus went all the way down to the cross, down to the tomb, down to the depths. And because of that, now we read that God elevated him up now all the way as Lord and King of all. He goes down and then the Father elevates him to Lord and King at all. And here's, listen to this, Jesus humbles himself. God the Father then takes him and places him in the place of highest honor. So what did that going down get him? The place of highest honor. And listen to how this verse ends here, verse 9. And gave him, so this is God the Father, and gave him the name above all other names. This verse has greater implications than I ever imagined as I was growing up. We're going to dive into that right now. This is what we're getting ready to talk about, to me anyway. This is incredible. I love this. We're talking about a name above all names. That's the way Paul describes it to us. So we think about Rockefeller, we think about Carnegie, Ford, Musk, Gates. We think about Walton, Zuckerberg, and Bezos. Yeah, all powerful, important. Nobody denies that. All powerful, important names. We read about them. We hear about them. We learn about them. We enjoy the impact of what they bring to us. But Paul is saying there's something even more special about the name of Jesus. He says, this name above all names. And we know that it is a fact that Jesus is perhaps the most famous name ever. From pole to pole, from coast to coast, continent to continent, the name of Jesus is known around the globe. But that's not all that's going on with this passage. That's what I grew up understanding this passage to mean. But there's so much more. So we're going to look deeper this morning. What we're told in the New Covenant, the Christian scriptures, is that Jesus has been given a new name. And this has always just kind of slipped by me without giving it much thought and really without too much impact. Because I'm like, sure, yeah. Okay, Jesus, new name. That's Jesus. So the Son of God got a new name, Jesus. But that's not what this passage is describing. This misses a very important detail that is going to help us connect some things from history to right here to then today. You see, Jesus, before all of that humbling that we talked about, besides becoming a man, before the completion of all of those steps down that Jesus was taking, he already had the name Jesus. This was not a new name for the Son of God. He already had that name. He was given that name the moment he chose that first self-humbling act to be born as a human. That's when he was given that name. So the name Jesus is not a new name. The Son of God existed before creation. So when Jesus was born, that was not the beginning of the Son of God. The Son of God was not created. God the Son, God the Father, God the Spirit have always existed from the very beginning, somehow as one, but somehow as three separate persons. I can't explain it. We can't. And so God the Son has existed since before creation because he was never created. So the old covenant in the Hebrew scriptures, he is God the Son. It's at the incarnation. So when Jesus is born, when God the Son is born as a baby, that's when he becomes Jesus, the name Jesus. So that's when he gets that name. And I guess more accurately, Hebrew and say Yeshua, which is the Hebrew and the roughly Aramaic name for Jesus. And Yeshua is a form of the name Yehoshua, which is the name for our English word, Joshua. And so that was a pretty common name in the first century. But because Yeshua has now completed his redemption work, so all of those steps down that he was taking, all the way down to the cross, then down to the tomb, all of those steps down, God now, after that, gives him a more fitting name, the one who is granted now the highest glory and the highest honor. And the Christian scriptures describe that Jesus is given the name Lord. So we have God the Son. When he's born as a human, he's given the name Jesus, which basically, you know, describes him as the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. So he's given the name Jesus. And then upon his death and resurrection, he's given the name Lord. So Peter describes this for us as well. In Acts chapter 2, listen to how Peter describes this redemptive work of Jesus. Peter says, God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this, Peter describes. So just remember, he had gone down, 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 and now, after he's been raised from the dead, listen to what happens, verse 33. Now he is exalted to the place of highest honor. Verses further into verse 36, we not only find Jesus, who is the Messiah, which means another word for Messiah is Christ. We now have this name change, really a title change. Peter says in verse 36, God has made him, speaking of Jesus, both Lord and Messiah. He's saying this Jesus who chose to go down, 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 humble himself, humble himself, humble himself, is not only the Messiah, not only the Christ, that's another word for Messiah, but he is now, as he's been exalted, he is now also Lord. Now, Jesus was already, because he's God, he was already God, Lord. But he was not bestowed that title until he completed his work of redemption. And he was uplifted, exalted from that humble state to this position. So he goes from down, down, down to a place of exaltation and a place of honor. So listen, Nathan's going to have this on the screen for you. To become Messiah, Jesus had to die. He had to go to that humiliation, down, down, down. But to become Lord, Lord of all, as he's described, Jesus had to defeat the enemy and lead his people out of the grip of Satan and out of the grip of death. And that's when he was bestowed that title of Lord. And this is beautiful. It's a picture. It is word poetry. It is poetic. But there's more. You see, our language does not really make a big deal about this, but the original biblical languages make a big deal about this. Being called Lord in the way in which Jesus is referred to as Lord is much more significant than our English language really portrays it. In the Hebrew scriptures, the personal name of God, the God of Israel, is Yahweh. So Israel, the Hebrew people, they considered that name far too sacred to mention. So they didn't speak the name of God, and they didn't even write the name of God. They wouldn't refer to him by his name like you call me Harley. It just didn't work that way. Or if we're on a formal basis, if you called me Harley Fisher Douglas Petty, whichever name you chose. They did not refer to God informally. They didn't use the name of God. They didn't speak it. They didn't write it. So anytime God refers to himself in the Hebrew scriptures, they would write that out in scripture as Lord. So that's what they would put down, Lord. They wouldn't use the name that he called himself. And so here, Paul is telling us that Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, has been exalted and given the name above all names. And in Scripture, there is only one name that is above all names. It is the name they wouldn't speak, and it is the name they wouldn't write. It is the name that God used to refer to himself, Yahweh, Lord. Jesus, the Son of God, has been exalted to the highest place of honor. Remember what we just read in the Christian scriptures? Now hear it again, but this time in the Hebrew scriptures, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. This is God describing himself. He says, I am the Lord, which we know is Yahweh. He says, that is my name. He said, I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols. And just a couple chapters later, God continues describing himself. He says, I have sworn in verse, 23 of chapter 45, I have sworn by my own name, his name being Yahweh, written as Lord. I have sworn by my own name. I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. And listen to how he describes this place of honor. Every knee will bend to me. Every tongue will declare allegiance. If not all of Isaiah memorized, Paul is drawing a direct comparison between these passages. Because God, the Son, he humbled himself and he died to redeem us. And now Paul describes that he has been exalted to the highest name, the highest place, and the highest name. And the highest name is Yahweh. Paul is describing this Lord, Yahweh, the God who made a covenant with Abraham. He's saying this was Jesus, Yahweh, Lord. Jesus, this Yahweh, is the God who spoke to Moses. Jesus, this Yahweh, is the God who rescued his people, the Israelites, from captivity. This is the same Yahweh, Jesus, that the Israelites worshiped from the very beginning. And Paul is saying, this Jesus, God the Son, who humbled himself and died for the sins of the world, has been exalted to the highest place, and he's been given the highest name. And then he describes, this brings glory to God the Father. Jesus rules and reigns over all. Now, as we are beginning to land this plane this morning, I want you to think of some of Jesus in December. You know, from this time period, we're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus in December. Think about the names associated with that. And as Jesus walked on this earth, Caesar Augustus, Pontius Pilate, Herod the Great, all of these men are now simply footnotes in the life of Jesus. It is Jesus who is Lord. not Caesar. And it is Jesus whom everyone will give an account of how they lived their lives on this earth. Whether somebody likes that or not, or whether they agree with that or not, the reality is, even if they don't believe that, Scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. So let's let this sink in. This ultimately glorified and exalted Jesus, name that Paul describes, who has the greatest name, the name above all names, Yahweh. If you're a Christ follower, think with me, you know him personally. Jesus, that name which could not be spoken in the Hebrew Scriptures, you know him. You know the King of glory. You know the King of all this creation. And it's not like knowing somebody famous. I mean, if you're walking down the street and you see Joe Rogan and you shout out, "Hey, that's Joe Rogan. I know who that is," right? You see Taylor Swift. Listen, that's Taylor. I know who that is. But they don't know me. This is a more intimate level of knowing. Because not only do you know him, Jesus, who has been given the name above every name, Jesus, whom at his presence every knee will bow and every tongue will. Not only do you know him, but Jesus knows you. And he loves you right back. In fact, we feel like when we began following Jesus, maybe that's where it all began. But I want you to know this. He knew you before that. He knew you before you began following him. He knew you first. This Jesus that we've been describing, I want you to know, I know him. And this Jesus we've been describing, he would look my way and he would say to me, "Harley, I'm glad to see you too." He knows me. If this reality does not cause you to fall to your face and worship him, I'm not sure that you actually know him. If it doesn't leave you filled with a sense of awe and a sense of wonder and joy, I'm not convinced that you really know him. Listen, I am not special. If you've been around me long, you know this. I have done nothing, and I can do nothing that would deserve this position as a follower of Jesus that he has allowed me to be a part of this great big journey. I don't deserve it. I am not lifted up. I possess in and of myself nothing. The only reason that I'm standing on this stage and it's elevated is simply so you can see over the backs of those chairs to the person who's speaking or the person who's singing. That's the only reason this stage is elevated. This is not my importance. There is nothing in me or about me that is elevated. I am honored simply because the King knows my name. And He loves me, and He rescued me. On this earth, Harley, Fisher, Douglas, Petty means nothing. Means nothing and is nothing. Except for one fact. Harley, Fisher, Douglas, Petty is known by and loved by and accepted by and redeemed by and forgiven by the King. So my hope is that you will lift up your voice and your heart will shout praises to your Creator, your Redeemer, your Savior, your friend, your ruler, your Lord, your Yahweh, your God Almighty. And He has lavished you with His love and His mercy and His grace. So now here's that verse I alluded to, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, this name of Jesus that is above all names, at the name of Jesus, this name that is greater than any name, every knee should bow. Why? Because Jesus Christ is Lord. In heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The name above every name. And Paul tells us that we will all confess this. Everyone will confess this. Some will confess this in celebration because they have submitted their lives to His care and His control. But others will be forced to confess this with great despair. But either way, Paul says every tongue declares that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's it. That's all I've got. I mean, what more is there to say about Jesus? My question is, do you believe this? Do you believe this? And have you submitted your life to His care and His control? That is care and control going to King Jesus, being transferred, saying, I am no longer going to be the boss of my life. You are in control of my life. Do you know Him? Does He know you? If not, I simply want to say today's the day. Not tomorrow, not soon. My hope is that today is that day that you'll submit your life to the care and the control right now. That you'll refuse Him no longer. I told the students at the retreat, I refused God for a long time. Blatantly said, I won't follow you and submit to you because everybody already thinks that I have. And what will they think of me if I have to admit it now that I am going to follow you now? I really wasn't a follower of yours then. But there came a time in my life when I could refuse no longer. And if I chose to, I felt an impression in my heart that said, this would be your last chance, Harley, Fisher, Douglas, Petty. to either your last chance to submit to God, or it would be the last time that your growing, calloused, stony heart would hear him call you. And it was at that moment that I stepped over my pride and I submitted my life to his care and control. And you know the funny thing? Nobody was shocked. Nobody judged me. In fact, it was quite the opposite. Everybody was ecstatic and excited and celebrated the fact that I submitted my life to this King, this Jesus. So my hope would be that you refuse him no longer, that you would submit to him today. But the truth is, throughout Scripture, we see that he gives you a choice. You can refuse him. There were many people that he called and said, hey, follow me. And guess what? They walked away. So if you choose to refuse him on this earth and to live a life on this earth free from having to submit to him, free from having to live under his care and control, if you choose to live a life on this earth free from God, then he not only grants that and allows that here on this earth, but he will grant that choice and allow that for eternity. And you will live a life in eternity separated from God. So not only does he grant that for here on this earth, but he will grant that in your life eternally, and you will be separated from him. If that's what you demand here on earth, I'm going to live life my way on my terms. No, God, I refuse you. Then you will have an eternity free from God, separated from him. If today is the day for you, I'm not going to ask you to bow your heads or close your eyes. I'm just going to ask you, with your eyes wide open, but your heart and your mind speaking to God. If you have never submitted to your life to the care and the control of Jesus, I want to encourage you to that draw in your heart saying, this is the time for you, then this is the time for you if you'll do it. I call it a Me Too prayer, but these are really just Me Too statements. If what I'm describing describes what your heart and your mind is communicating to Jesus right now, then you just say, yeah, yeah, yes, Jesus, me too. That is what my heart is saying to you right now. And here are the statements. And it's not these words. This is not a magic formula. This is a condition and a state of the heart, of the mind. It is a humbled position. If your heart is saying this, God, Jesus, I have sinned against you. And you loved me enough to make a way. And that way came through your death and your resurrection. You, Jesus, the Son of God, had to die to pay the sin debt, my sin debt, and the sin debt of the entire world. And because of that, Jesus, I owe you my life. Your blood, your death purchased my life. And I am admitting right now, yes, you purchased my life. And so I owe you my life. And I'm submitting my life to your care, Jesus, and to your control, Jesus. I was my own. You are the boss. But no longer am I my boss. I am declaring, Jesus, you are the boss of my life. I submit my life to you, God, Jesus, Yahweh. And if that's what your heart is doing right now, I want you to know God is listening to your heart. And the Christian scriptures tell us that if you are submitting right now to Him, that the angels in heaven are throwing a party because a sinner, you, have come to Jesus. But don't forget, He knew you first. He came to you first. If you just submitted your life to Jesus, or if you have a question about this, I'm getting ready to give you my phone number. If you don't already have my phone number, I would encourage you just, I'm going to give you my phone number right now. So if you would just put it in your phone. If you don't have it, you may need it someday. Just put it in your phone right now. My phone number is this. Here it comes. 870-674. I'm going to go back to the beginning. 870-674-7021. 870-674-7021. The more I say it, the less it sounds like my phone number, but that's it. If you just submitted your life to the care and the control of Jesus, would you sometime today text me and just say, hey, I did. And here's why, because we have some information that we want to get to you to help you get started on this journey of chasing after Jesus. To help you understand, because the evil one is going to try to confuse you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to make you doubt, and he's going to try to, we just want to equip you and prepare you for the days ahead, a life of following Jesus. Just text me. We're going to send you some information. If you have a question about this, just shoot me a text. I'll do my best. If I don't know where the answer is or what the answer is, I'll do my best to figure that out. I pray that you will submit your life to Jesus. Now, this is the Jesus who deserves to be worshiped. This is the Jesus who deserves to be magnified and glorified. This is the Jesus who is going to and was prepared to and ready to meet you at your greatest point of need, salvation. But not just that, your greatest point of need, anything that happens on this earth, He's going to be there with you through it. I can think of no better way to pray us in that Paul time of worth. So before pray the words that Paul gave us. So before we sing, join me in this prayer. God, thank you for giving Paul these words, telling us that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave, and he was born as a human being. And when Jesus, appeared in human form, you humbled yourself in obedience to God, and you died a criminal's death on a cross to the place of highest honor and gave you a name, a new name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare, Jesus Christ is Lord. And it is all to the glory of God. the Father. And to that we say,